just for anybody who isn't familiar with you, just give us a little potted history of your career and what you do.
Yeah, I'm a racing driver, basically. Yeah, I've gone through the ranks, as it were. Knocked on the door of Formula One for quite a couple of years now, just trying to break through it. And yeah, this year I've been doing a bit more endurance stuff, Le Mans 24 Hours and European Le Mans Series, that kind of thing. And yeah, we're fighting for a championship, which comes to its climax next weekend in Estoril.
Which must be so exciting. Just looking at the website now and doing those kind of races must be amazing. But to be so close to the title, you could be a world champion, you know, in a week or so's time.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's so amazing.
Well, it is. It's been a long, sort of drawn-out year, and this type of racing is so different to the things I've been doing before, where single-seaters and, you know, it's all basically the same as Formula One. It's all about you, and that's it. You do what you've got to do, and the team works around you, etc., where now it's more of a team thing where there are two other drivers that, yeah, you all have to pull together. It's a long race, you know, 4 hours, or like Le Mans 24 hours. It's just a long old race, really, and everyone's got to pull together to get the result.
Yeah, as you were saying, that the Le Mans series and the 24 hours, I mean, obviously, I know of that race because of the old video games. I'm a huge video game player, and seeing those in the past and kind of playing those and getting into it, that's been brilliant, but I've never even thought about taking part in this. You know, I get frustrated driving up the M62 every day. 24 hours worth of racing, that is incredible. What goes through your mind when you're setting up for this? How do you kind of get ready to take on that kind of event?
It's difficult. It's like nothing you could ever do before or after. It's just, it's one of a kind. It's why it is a special race, and it's why, you know, many F1 drivers now are trying to do that one particular race, because it is beyond any challenge you could possibly imagine. I mean, a stint, you know, just like literally when I got in the car, I started the race, I did just short of 4 hours non-stop.
Wow.
You know, and it's not 4 hours cruising, it's 4 hours flat out every lap. And, you know, you've got traffic, you know, because with the other categories, the cars that are slower, they've got cars that are faster. So it's just, yeah, mentally draining, physically draining. And to do that for 24 hours, not just on the drivers, but on the team, because the team's got to be awake for that amount of time as well. And it's just, yeah, it's absolutely draining on everybody. But yeah, that's why everyone chases to try and win it.
It's intense concentration, isn't it? As you said, it's mentally draining and also physically draining as well. And with everything else that's on the road, to be that alert, and it is quite a natural skill, isn't it? When you get driving, it does feel natural, even though, like, you know, I'm nowhere near your level. When you are driving, a lot of it does come kind of naturally, and you don't think about everything you've been taught. So to be that alert for that length of time is very impressive.
Yeah, you sleep quite well in between stints, you know, even though no matter how noisy it is or whatever, you get out of the car, you're pretty tired anyway, you know, you'll have a stretch off, maybe see the physio for a little bit, and then that's it, you are just knocked out for about 2 hours or so, and then you're back up again and you do it again. So it's long endurance, but it's a special race, you know, and one day I'd love to win it. You've got to have everything perfect, you know, to win it, Le Mans.
How'd you train for that? How'd you train for an endurance race like that?
Like you say, a lot of endurance, you know, a lot of just long, steady runs, cycling, swimming. It's just endurance, you know, and concentration-wise, you can do all sorts of things, you know, whether it is actually, you know, gaming, you know, playing PlayStation games or whatever, just for a long period of time, you know, doing lap after lap after lap after lap, just to sort of train your brain that you've got to train and focus for that long. And yeah, that's about all you can do, really.
So coming up on the 17th of October, it's a very, very big race for you, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's the finale. You know, I mean, we've been fighting all year long. It's been such a close championship. There's one point in it, you know, coming into the last round, and there's three teams that can take it. And you know, we've got to go and do the best job that we can. And if we do that, and we cut out a couple of mistakes we've had throughout the year, then I'm pretty sure we'll come away with the right result.
Yeah, that's going to be incredible. Tell us where it is and what the race is. It's in, where is it? Is it in?
Estoril.
Estoril, that's it. Estoril. I was going to pronounce it and get it wrong. That's why I thought I'd try and get you to do it. So if anybody's interested in going over to this, if they want to come and see you to race, can they still get tickets? Is there a way to get over?
Yeah, the European Le Mans Series, I think it's .com, I would guess. But if you just Google European Le Mans Series, if you go on there, there'll be plenty of tickets. It's a beautiful part of the world is Estoril around that area. So if anyone wanted to come down, I believe it's also live on Motors TV, which every race has been live so far. So it's quite a long one to watch on TV, but every time, you know, it's 4 hours, but no matter what, every race this year has come down to the last 20 minutes, and every race has been, I think it's been decided within 10 seconds. So it's been really close. So to say it's 4 hours, three different drivers, different types of cars, it's completely different to anything, you know, that you might have watched in Formula One or even bikes, etc. Obviously, they've all got their own unique qualities, but so is endurance racing. And, I think it'll be a good watch anyway. It'll be interesting.
And you're so close now, aren't you? You're so close to this title.
Yeah, you can't get closer. You know, we're 1 point in it, and you get 25 for a win. So, yeah, we've just got to go and do our best job. If we can win the race, we win everything. But, you know, we've got to be sensible as well. You know, we just have to beat the other team that's close to us, and that's it. You know, we'll be champions.
You just got to go out there and do your job, and that's what it is. And I really do hope you can win this, which would be absolutely fantastic. To have a world champion right in front of me, you know, a potential world champion right in front of me. It's amazing. This is going to be a fantastic race next weekend, obviously. And we've been talking a little bit about F1. As I said, you've been knocking on the door a little bit. And that is something that you still aspire to do.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. You know, no matter if I was 78 in a wheelchair, if someone said, do you want to drive a Formula One car, I'd be there.
Yes. Straight in there, no less than right.
It's something that you never give up on, you know. It's something that's been there since I was a kid. And we are knocking again, you know, this year. We've been working incredibly hard all year to put a deal together. Unfortunately, it's the usual story that people seem to be more aware of now is that you have to arrive with a checkbook. And we're quite close on a few fronts, and if they come off, then yeah, there's a good chance I'll be in a car next year, but we've just got to keep working.
Well, this is the thing with F1, as you said, you do have to arrive with a checkbook these days, don't you? You have to arrive with either that or a giant suitcase full of money, it seems, to set everything up. It does seem, as some people have been writing online, that it's kind of losing its soul a little bit. It's losing the magic that it had. And some of the traditional races, if you will, are disappearing off future calendars. I know the 2016 season's been kind of set out now, and there's a lot of dates that are popping up. And there's places like Russia who are getting races, and they've set these giant tracks up, they set everything up, and there's so much money pouring into it. And it's obviously a big commercial thing. Has F1 suffered from the commercialisation of it a little bit in a way, or is there a way they can live together? And yeah, that it doesn't have to all be about the money.
Yes, absolutely. But the problem is that the guys making the money aren't ever going to change it. It's like turkeys voting for Christmas. It's not going to happen until there is, you know, fundamental change. Whether that's when Bernie disappears or whatever, you know, whatever it has to be. But they do need to do something. I mean, it's good for the manufacturers in some extent. You know, they're all competing. That's fine, and that's wonderful for them. You know, but they're still making a loss. You know, Mercedes lost somewhere near 75 million quid last year to win a world championship, which, when you think of the prize money that they got in on top of that, they were spending hundreds of millions.
It just seems wrong, doesn't it? It just seems wrong that you lose that amount of money to try and win.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, but they've got it. Yeah, that's the difference. Then you've got, you know, Manor at the back who are budgeting at a maximum of somewhere around 60 million, you know, and they're expected to compete in the same sport. It's obscene. So until something is done, you know, there's more than enough money to go around if in an ideal world they wanted to, just with the TV royalty money that comes in, which is, I think, in excess of a billion quid. And there's more than enough there if they distributed that pretty much evenly, apart from the champion. You know, if you win the championship, you deserve that bit more. But there's enough there that each team could run on somewhere around 100 million budget, which is more than enough to run two cars in, you know, 20 odd races.
So you think it'd be better if they could level the playing field a little bit?
On the money side of it, yeah. I mean, you know, the bigger teams will always still have that edge because they've still got that bit of investment. You know, they'll still have a bigger marketing department. They'll still attract a bigger sponsor because they're a bigger brand. You know, it won't really change much, but it'll just give, in my opinion anyway, this, you know, it would give the bottom end and the midfield just that little bit more security. You know, it actually would give them, you know, assets that are actually worth something, because at the minute, everything from pretty much Williams down is worth nothing. So, you know, if you want to go and buy it, you can walk in there with a pound and they'll give you it, you know, as long as you take the debt. So it's like a lot of football teams have been, you know, it's no different.
Well, it is kind of like football in a way, isn't it? And you know, I don't know whether you've kind of taken a bit of notice of what's going on with the Premier League TV deals that's coming in, and obviously there's this huge deal, this $5 billion deal that's popping in over the next few seasons, and the team that is going to get relegated from the Premier League could be making £100 million out of TV rights.
Yeah.
They're going to go into a championship, taking on clubs. I mean, even, yeah, we could even include Leeds United, who've been in the championship for a little while now. They're not going to get £100 million.
Yep.
Yet Sunderland, Newcastle, whoever it may be, Aston Villa, whatever, are going to go into the Championship, instantly have a pile of cash, can say to someone, well, all right, we'll pay you a bit more and come and play for us, and they'll be back in the Premier League. Whereas all the other teams getting sat on, is this the way that F1's going, where the big ones at the top are just sitting right on these smaller teams, and it's not the skill of a driver, it's how much money you've got?
It's edging that way. I mean, it's always going to come down to partially being the skill of the driver. You know, every driver on that grid in some way is skilled, some more than others, and some plainly shouldn't be there. But it's still, you know, at the front, you know, the Hamiltons, the Vettels, Raikkonens, Alonsos, Buttons, people of this world, they are quality drivers, you know.
Undoubted.
Absolutely, 100%. Mm. But yeah, there's a few in there that physically just bought their way in, you know, but you know, look at them. You can't take it away from them. You know, if someone offers you a drive in Formula One that's funded, you know, it's not the actual driver's fault, you know, to turn it down. You know, it's been his dream just as much as it's been my dream. You know, he's just a little bit luckier in that fact. So you can't take that away from them. You know, they're not doing anything that any of us would not do. So it's just how the system is at the minute, with just how much money it takes to just to survive in Formula One. And you know, the teams need it, you know, bills need paying, all the staff, our families, it's just a fact. You can't change it. So you know, people cry about it and get all worked up about it, but you just have to accept it, and you know, you can't, if it's the usual story, if you can't beat it, join it. You know, you've got to try and get involved, and if you do, you know, you do a good job in your first season in a lower or mid pack team sort of thing, and you hope then that's enough to get the opportunity to go on to the hierarchy of Formula One, and then you don't have to worry about bringing the money in as such, and you can go and challenge for a world championship.
It's interesting we talk about this. Obviously, you mentioned about Bernie maybe disappearing, and he's been stating that there's a potential that three buyers are looking at buying F1 at the moment, including the owner of the Miami Dolphins, who's working with some investors from Qatar at the moment. It could be very interesting that they could take this, because they could run it in very different ways, I guess, with more commercial side, and a lot of people like that may be looking at a giant commercial end of it. Or would a new owner strip it back to basics in a way and make things a bit more even?
It's difficult to say. I mean, I think an American influence on it in some way wouldn't be the worst thing. You know, the system that they're running in the NFL and things like that in America is sort of a model that I think could possibly work quite well in Formula One to level the playing field in a way financially, so that at least all the teams have got security. You know, they're not all fighting for survival, which is the case now. So I think, you know, I mean, who knows? You know, no one can knock what Bernie's ever done for Formula One. You know, he's turned it into what it is. He took it from, you know, a couple of guys in sheds to what it is now. And yeah, I mean, credit to him. It's incredible what he's done. But you know, I think it needs to evolve now to thrive. I mean, it is without doubt the biggest year-on-year sport in the world. When you think of the numbers, the people that watch it, the turnover, the sponsors involved, every year, you know, it attracts as much viewership and sponsors and everything as a World Cup does. So, well, that's every 4 years, or Olympics or anything. So year-on-year, there's nothing bigger. And to be in the situation that it's in is such a shame, really. And when you think, you know, how good it could be. I mean, everyone loves driving, you know, everyone loves watching fast cars or nice things, you know, all that. It excites people. And for people to be watching it now and flicking over because it's not that exciting, to me, it's a crying shame. You know, it's something that could be so beautiful, and it's just not living to its potential for reasons that I think could be quite easily solved, you know, and hopefully that will be the case soon enough.
Yeah, hopefully it'll all get sorted out. It's a very interesting evolution of F1 that could be turning up very, very soon. Look, John, thank you very much for coming in today. Really appreciate it. And good luck on the 17th in Estoril. Really do hope you get that World Championship and get that point that you really want.
Well, thanks. We'll be giving it everything, you know. Myself, the other drivers and Greaves will be... we'll be going absolutely flat out. We've been working massively hard between the last race and now. And, I think as long as we don't have any bad luck, I think we'll be all right.
I know you've got everyone in Yorkshire support. You definitely got ours. John, look, good luck in that race, and thank you very much for coming in once again.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.